The Rancor's Brothel presents.
Into the land of civilization came Nyarlathotep, slender and sinister,
and gave exhibitions which sent his spectators away speechless.
Men advised one another to see him and shuddered.
Where he went, rest vanished, for the small hours were rent with the screams of nightmare.
It was in the hot autumn that I went through the night with the restless crowd.
I saw hooded forms amidst ruins, and I saw the world battling against blackness.
I screamed aloud.
I was not afraid.
That I could never be afraid.
And others screamed with me for solace.
Beyond the world vague ghosts of monstrous things.
Corpses of dead worlds with sores that were cities. Charnel winds that brush the pallid stars.
And through this revolting graveyard of the universe, the muffled, maddening beating.
The crawling chaos.
Masks of Nyarlathotep.
Configurations in mutation.
Meanwhile, I assume Sybil is bringing up the rear going, go, 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 go.
Yes.
I would. It's likely Cecil would know a place to go.
I mean, the doorman has chased you off the property. He's not, like, going to chase you down. He's not
no,
a cop.
No, I know, but for
my
some
climb
reason,
is better
to find a place to
than
hide.
Both my fighting brawl and my dodge. So, it's as good as my con.
Well, that was fun.
My brawl is better than my climb.
Unintentional, but fun.
I'm gonna write chased out of hotel.
Hey, as we're running, hey, Sybil, when you get a chance, can you take a look at this?
His face looks like he just got hit by a goddamn prize fighter. It's swelling up horribly.
Can I see your gun?
No.
Just real quick.
No. Sorry, Owen.
It's almost like he's almost like
the only person I apologize to.
It's almost like
Owen.
The man was a little twitchy.
Yeah.
So if you hustle, you can make it to... The New York Times is no longer in Times Square at this point. They've moved.
Sure. What's in the Flatiron Building?
Don't know. They're off of West 43rd Street, so I don't know how far you are. I think you're in the neighborhood, right? Because you're at 40th something.
Yes.
As in neighborhood as Manhattan as you could get. You could catch a cab if you like, or perhaps take the L. But you can get to the New York Times relatively easily. Would you like to roll first aid to try and give him a hit point back?
Certainly.
You just botched the fucking roll, didn't you?
Did you get a triple zero?
Nope, but I got a 99.
Oh, it's okay, right. She has an
out 80. Of 80.
What's your skill?
She's got an 80.
80.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be a triple zero.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I was okay
Sybil's
with it.
Like, does this hurt? She's like just poking it. She's like, look at the blood underneath the skin. Move around.
If I point in these six places, it's almost like I can redo that tattoo shape. And if I poke over here, your scar matches
now
Mr. Tarkington.
Now located in the recently expanded 229 West 43rd Street building, the New York Times is a hive of journalistic activity. I assume you asked for Mrs. Schoenberg?
Ms., but yes.
Ms. Schoenberg?
Yes.
You are directed to the news department's crime section. You see, sorry, sort of brain farted there. I'm thinking of other things.
It's all right. You just started to talk again after I'd finished Schoenberg.
You see.
Sound like amigo.
Thanks. It's a compliment. No one's ever called me a bug before, especially not an alien one.
You see a small, dark-complexioned woman with wavy black hair. She appears humorless and overly intense. Yes, I'm Miss Rebecca Schoenberg. My understanding is that you called the front desk and would like to speak with me. How can I help you, folks?
We'd like to start by saying that we were the ones that found Mr. Jackson Elias, and we really liked your write-up.
You see a flash of, like, glee pass across her face. Please, please, please. You see her start moving, like, her small cubicle or workspace, whatever.
In exchange,
she pulls up some chairs. Please sit down.
For some short words that you might be able to use in a follow-up article, we would like to know more about these past murders that it seems to mimic.
Of course, of course. She begins looking for, there's like piles of stuff everywhere. She starts pulling out notebooks and stuff.
Guys, I didn't even have to roll charm.
please sit down. Yes, I've been following the Hilton Adams case quite closely. Please tell me what you know. And you see her pull out a notebook. This is, of course, off the record. I could quote you as good friends of Jackson Elias. Is that accurate?
Passing acquaintances.
I tried to use the phrase, Jasmine. You gotta let me use the phrase.
Fine.
Thank you. Good friends of Jackson Elias is a phrase. It's actually, a lot of the guys who wrote this have a podcast that they play on, and it's called The Good Friends of Jackson Elias. Almost as if this is, like, one of the most known things in all of Call of Cthulhu. We'll take you down as the good friends of Jackson Elias. Of course. Keep all your identities safe. You are, though, I would like, in case I get into any follow-up, and she'll take down your details as long as you give them.
Sure.
Yes. And I assume you described to her fairly factually what?
Yes.
Okay.
Unless you guys want to keep anything out. It'll be very factual. It's just really straightforward person. Tit for tat.
I think we leave out the pieces that we found. Obviously the pictures.
Yeah, I think we leave out the evidence that we stole. Yeah. we do a pretty good review of the events that happened.
So she takes down all the notes, everything relevant. You're keeping out some of the minor details.
Yes, we're keeping out the evidence that we found. In terms of the photo and the letter.
She seems very excited about the fact that you found a trio of individuals and a basic description of them.
Yep.
Yes.
As well as a car?
No.
Excellent. No, this is very important. I think it will go far to helping out poor Mr. Adams. I can hope, at least.
Do we believe the part about the knife?
His wife may sleep better at night. If it may help. Let's just put it that way.
So you're of the opinion that he's being framed and
Absolutely.
He wasn't a part of it?
Absolutely.
What leads you to believe that?
I've talked to his wife. And several of his friends. My understanding is that Mr. Adams was an upstanding pillar of the community. A veteran of the Great War. My understanding is that most, including myself, believe he may have been framed. This follow-up murder, particularly by multiple individuals, may confirm that. I'll definitely be following up with this, and she's taking rapid notes. She actually pulls out some of the articles. You can see here, the first two bodies, there was no link immediately drawn, despite the fact that they both had the same ritualistic symbol carved into their forehead. By the third one, it was clear that connections were being drawn by myself, by the police, by various folks interested in it. It was also they're baffling crimes, to say the least. Motive unclear. They're also being found in different precincts and districts all over the city. The bodies are very little connection. White, Negro, all sorts of different victims, different ages, different sexes. No clear connection. What little I have been found is it does seem that those folks frequent Harlem, but that's not unusual, obviously. That is sort of the nightlife, right? So we're thinking that they probably were victims of opportunity in and amongst that area. It's the most we have so far.
Have you seen any connection between their lines of business and inquiry? Mr. Jackson Elias, he was quite known to research these death cults.
I can't speak to the death cult aspect, personally. I've interviewed a Dr. Lemming about that.
Ah, yes, Dr. Lemming. We are familiar with him and his crab cakes.
Never met the man.
She snorts. Yes, quite.
I can only imagine how those conversations went.
There's very little there to say in terms of that. Mostly we're trying to make a physical connection. I believe after a few incidents that everything was transferred to Captain Robeson of the 14th Precinct. Let me double check that. Yes, 14th Precinct. Robeson was, he is the captain of the 14th Precinct, oversees Harlem. Once it was ascertained that as more bodies were found, while most of them were found in and around Harlem or on its fringes, they were in, you know, different sections of the city, but there was definitely sort of a general connection to Harlem itself, it seemed, at least in the bodies. Also with Dr. Lemming's, very vocal pronouncement that this was an African death cult. It sort of focused the city's, the NYPD's can, you know, search in the most, in the largest concentration of the Negro population. Inside Manhattan, obviously. I'll be the first to tell you, I believe that Captain Robeson is incompetent. And that he may or may not have framed Mr. Hilton Adams. I don't know what other help I may be to you. This quid pro quo has been very beneficial.
Thank you for your time.
Leads. Absolutely. Is there anything else I could answer for you?
You believe specifically that the police framed Mr. Adams?
I think that whether through incompetence or corruption, I think that Robeson needed a killer. I think he found one. My understanding from talking to Millie, Adam's wife, that Adams and his friends actually formed a militia of sorts. They were apparently attempting to patrol the streets at night to protect the folk of Harlem. It seems unlikely in the interviews I've had with him that he doesn't strike me as a man who would be doing these ritual butcherings.
Has there been any discussion since this new murder that, I mean, obviously this couldn't be him?
Obviously that was a part of the point of writing my article. If you read it in the paper today.
Yes.
We've got another one. Obviously your information, and she kind of looks at her watch. It's probably too late for the evening's report. It'll probably go out tomorrow. The hard part is being a journalist. All I can do is draw attention to the story. I can't convince the NYPD to do anything. We would need to muster up some sort of more clear evidence of corruption or finding the killers or something to that effect. If you are interested in looking into it, I could get you to speak with either of the Adams, if that would be helpful.
You'd be able to get us to talk with him in Sing Sing?
Yes, I think that's something that I could do. He is allowed visitors, especially as with his execution date looming. The question would be whether or not Hilton would want to speak to you himself. I think that I could convince him or his wife to speak with you.
Do you know of any other leads or any other possible suspects in the case that you came across or that anybody else may have come across?
Like I said, I only really got attracted to the case through the murders, and I only spoke to Adams after he had been convicted, because I'm following where the news goes. Thus far, there's been nothing.
I don't know if I missed this or not, but besides Elias's murder, has there been any other murders since the conviction in October?
No. This is the first one since the conviction.
And I'm assuming he'd been in custody prior to the conviction. Were there any he's been
put a pin in that for a second? I'm not 100% sure that's the case, but I believe that is the case.
Ms. Schoenberg, this unusual style weapon of these, as you say, ritualistic murders. Yes.
What did you say that was, sir? What was the word you used? Can you spell it for me?
I believe it's a Pinga, P-I-N-G-A.
Yes, we hadn't heard that before. Adams was apparently found with a large knife, sort of a Bowie knife or a machete or what did they call it? A trench knife, I believe, is what it might have been.
This is nothing of the sort.
Trust me, that is one of the things that I have hit upon. Again, I'm writing stories. I don't know that it will convince the NYPD of anything, but trust me, I'm taking very detailed notes. I'll be calling the public library to get more information about the Pinga very quickly. I do appreciate that note.
Do you know much about a Mr. Inquane?
Silas.
No, she writes that off to the side. Is there some reason why I should know a Mr. Silas Nkwane?
Mr. Dr. Lemming gave us his name in connection to maybe the cult side of things.
Huh. Fascinating. No, I've not heard of him. Do you have an address for him? Does he live in the city?
Most we know is the Juju House in Harlem.
You perhaps see her write Silas Nkwane ? Juju House. She underlines it a couple of times. Fascinating.
Best we can find is that may be where some of these more exotic artifacts are coming from the African continent.
Hmm.
coming into New York and being disseminated. It was something we might thought about checking out.
Probably the next place to go, actually.
I don't think Eustace is going to go.
Not going to go to the Juju house?
You'll be fine.
He's the slowest. It's fine. You can stay outside and make sure no one comes in after us.
You're the fat friend that gets tripped when racing from bad guys.
No, you just have terrible lungs.
I just didn't want to be in a location in connection with anything with lemming. So probably a bad idea.
Probably a bad idea right about now.
So maybe I'll go talk to the publisher while you guys go to the Juju house.
We don't have to run faster than the bear, just faster than you.
Yep.
That's why my ride skill is so high. So I'm just going to find a horse somewhere. Go into Central Park to steal one from the NYPD. Shoot a cop off the horse.
Yeah, I don't think stealing a horse from the NYPD is going to engender you to them at all.
I don't think, Schroeder, that there have been any... The whole lockup and trial and everything happened in October, so 3 or 4 months ago. I don't think that there have been any killings since that time.
So we're talking like custody conviction within a month's time?
Yeah. No, it was you don't have any sort of law. But
let's push this through.
Yes, exactly. My apologies. I don't mean to usher you off, but is there anything else I can do for you at the moment? I'd like to track some of these down. I'd like to talk to Millie. If you are willing to meet Hilton, I'd like to try and get that arranged for maybe early next week.
When's his execution date?
I think it's nonspecific.
Yeah.
It's not in the article, at least.
Thematically appropriate time away.
Yeah, as long as we can get to him, that's fine.
They're not killing him in the next few days.
Right.
When was the last murder?
Really?
You were just there.
Touche. A bit of brilliance there from Cecil.
Why male models?
That's because it hadn't yet exited short-term memory. Hey, I can make those jokes. I've had short-term memory loss and long-term.
I was trying to see who wrote the dairy article. I don't know.
I think that it was the last murder probably would have been in like September.
But these happened, as I understand it, over several years.
2 years.
Yeah, over 2 years.
This would make murder number 10.
I think it's technically 9.
Is it number 9?
I think it's 9.
Well, if you turn it upside down, you times it by 3, you've got 666.
Yep.
That's about how those things tend to go.
Is there anything else I could do for you? I'm sorry. Again, I don't mean to rush you off. I would just like to start tracking this down. A man's life does hang in the balance after all. An innocent man, I believe.
I'll start to stand up and say, oh, if only Lemon was like you. And then just kind of...
She does speak less.
Takes a lot of notes, though.
Actually, that quick quotes quill.
Let me check something.
Quid pro quo?
Yes, squid pro ro.
Squid pro ro?
Hilton Adams was arrested in September 1924 after he was found standing over the body of a middle-aged white man not far from the Harlem branch of the New York Public Library. According to police, who were alerted by the dying man's screams, they claimed to see Hilton throw away a bloody knife when confronted. The knife was Hilton's Army-issue bolo knife, was recovered from the scene, and formed the crux of the prosecution's case against him.
Was there any regularity between murders before? I mean, that's quite some time, September till now.
Not that she is aware of.
Because we're talking 8 murders in the course of...
2 years, basically.
Well, okay. I was thinking...
A year and a half.
Yeah.
Anything else for Rebecca Schochenberg?
I don't think so.
She does give you each a card. Please, if there's anything else, like I said, I'd like to get a hold of you and arrange. If you would be willing to meet Hilton, I'd like to try and contact him today. Maybe next week, Tuesday or Wednesday, something like that.
Absolutely. Call my secretary, Mabel. She's at the insert.
She writes that down. Yes. We'll get that all arranged.
It's nice having a secretary.
Till you come home to find her ritualistically murdered. Don't you know I got a female one of those too? Those pictures.
Yeah. Funny.
So she shows you out. It is now the evening of the 16th. Is there anything else you folks would like to do today on Friday?
Fish fry.
It's a little early in the season, Friday. Isn't it?
No. Well, in Wisconsin, it's every Friday night, regardless of the season, so.
Fair enough.
They don't wait for Lent. They do it every Friday, all year round.
Fair enough. You grab dinner somewhere, if you like.
Sure.
Back to Harlem.
Did we want to try to talk to this guy at the Juju house? So
that's why we'd be going back to Harlem.
Yeah, Silas. Who's up for going to the Juju house? Sounds fascinating.
How late in the day are we?
It's probably...
Afternoon?
Afternoon, getting dawn to evening.
Yeah.
It's quite all right. I've got some friends in the area.
Mr. Tarkington, would you want to introduce us to your friends, or are they the sort that you'd like to keep under wraps?
Does it matter?
Apparently not. Or rather, would your friends want to meet us?
Better question.
Something for you to consider next time you offer for us to meet your friends.
Never did. Just said I had them.
That was the part that I found difficult to believe.
Well played, madam.
Touché.
You, are you going to the Juju house then?
Some of us are.
I believe that was the point, okay. But...
You look up information about the Juju house then?
I'd call the operator. Look in the phone book.
Yeah. No, I'm just letting you know. It is, the Juju house is listed as an African art emporium. It is located at One Ransom Court, which is a cluttered alley off of West 137th Street, east of Lenox Avenue.
Sounds delightful. Perhaps we can get some of that street food that works so well with Egyptian and Middle Eastern.
As I walk back to my hotel, I just start singing, Georgia, Georgia,
Georgia on my mind.
Schroeder, over or under?
Under.
Okay. So the other three of you go to the Juju house?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You notice that, like I said, it's kind of a dingy alley. Everything else on this alley, this is like their back door. There appears to be you walked past on like 138th Street, I believe it is. There is a closed pawn shop. And this little almost like cul-de-sac has this pawn shop, a few brownstones overlooking it, and then this door where there's a small handwritten sign in the window that says, you know, the Juju house. You see that its hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., closed on Sundays, lunch between 12 and 1. Thanks to Schroeder choosing under, it is currently 4:30.
Fantastic.
So would you like to go in?
Of course.
Okay.
Is someone going to stay outside, or are we all going in?
It's cold out.
Right.
If I'm actually with you guys, I'll sit outside.
Okay. You see that there is a display window and a glass door. Both are curtains, so the interior of the shop cannot be seen, and the display window are genuine pieces of African art.
Anything look familiar with like symbols on them?
No, I mean, there's a lot of stuff.
Anything look like it's under 16 credits?
Maybe a few things.
Few artifacts for back home.
Is he legitimately African? Because when I hear Juju House, I think of Haitian.
No. There are no Grigiri bags for sale or anything like that. That's a different game. So are the other three of you going in?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a little bell that rings when you open the door.
Every time he asks a question like that, I always want to say no. Because I always feel like it's better for us if we all just go, no.
He just pokes. He's like... You go in there, and everybody's like,
"That's why."
Well, I'm like, if not, you see a man come over and lock the door.
That's why I don't ask at the time. It's like, all right, so you guys show up here.
No.
It's just a lot easier.
You make the decisions. I don't make the decisions. As you step into the shop, it is a unbelievably cluttered place. You three stepping in there almost makes it feel claustrophobic. The shop interior is only about 15 by 20.
Oh.
Pretty much the size of this room, give or take. A little larger.
Dr. Lemming vibes off of how cluttered this place is.
The shop itself is dirty, dusty, and piled with African tribal artifacts and bric-a-brac. Devil masks, leather-headed drums, stuffed model giraffes, carved wildebeests, hand weapons intended for display. They look dull. Ivory warthogs, and so on. Troy, you have a cult?
Mm-hmm.
Can you roll it for me, please?
I don't see any penguins here.
Ought 8.
Those are
nice. You notice that some of these things, so there are display cabinets, there are shelves, etc. Some of the things in the display cabinet, obviously you would identify them as being more valuable. There are certain, it keeps using the word fetishes, that are traditional components of ritual magic from various African cultures. So whether that be maybe poultices or implements or instruments, you're seeing a lot of interesting stuff like that. Behind a cluttered waist-high glass cabinet, which basically acts as a counter, stands a shriveled old African-American man wrapped in a red blanket. Anthropology?
I'm gonna make a roll tonight.
Okay.
I did not make the roll.
You identify the blanket as a shuka, which is worn by Masi tribesmen. So it is a traditional, garb. The man behind you, the man behind the counter, smiles in greeting. You see that he has basically no teeth. He is very aged. I believe I have a description of him somewhere. Skeletally thin, wizened old African-American man with skin the texture of a walnut. He has a fringe of thin white hair and is missing many teeth.
Welcome, visitors, to the Juju House.
Larkin!
I am, my name is, Silas Ndkwane. I will be closing up shortly, but please, if there's anything you see of interest, do not hesitate to ask me about it.
You do notice that there appears to be a back area to the shop that is covered with, like, a rough blanket behind him. Otherwise, you're all kind of stuck in this very tiny, almost, you know, art shop. Can you, can I get a D100 roll from everyone there?
Do I?
Everyone on the inside, you mean?
Correct.
12.
19.
12. Trey.
Good God. You all make spot hiddens. Easily. You notice that underneath the shuka, he's wearing like a, there's a leather thong around his neck. Appears to be that he's got a key. Makes sense. The man doesn't have any pockets.
And beneath the key, you see a familiar tattoo.
But a singular key.
Mine was a hard pass.
Yes. His was a 3. His was an impale.
That's fair.
It's just a single key.
Mr. Nkwane, we'll get straight to the point. Our friend was Jackson Elias, who was murdered last night. And we are just looking for some clues as to who did it. Not that we think it's you. I don't mean to get that direct. But some African weapon was used and carried by the men fleeing the scene. We're just trying to understand exactly what's going on.
I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean. He looks plainly shocked. What are you suggesting, sir?
Have you sold a pinya? Pinga?
A pinga? Yes. And he actually points to the cabinet. There is a pinga on display. I get them occasionally. Yes. They are here.
And he takes it out of the case and shows it to you.
Would you like to hold it?
I won't hold it now.
Okay.
Does it look similar to the one that you might have seen?
You see him, kinda. I mean, not exactly. But the general shape and logistics, yeah. It's like saying, is it a sword? Well, a broadsword and a short sword are both kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You see him actually, he takes his thumb and he rubs it over.
I mean, these are for display. They're artistic pieces. They're not for any sort of ritual killings. I mean, that's I guess, what they would have been used for in Africa, but...
Do you know of anyone around here that would use such a horrible weapon?
No. I import maybe these every couple of years. They're not... my people who come to the Juju House are interested in artifacts and art and history. These are not...
Which, of course, we are. We're just hoping that you knew something a little bit more, maybe.
No, I'm sorry. I sell, like I said, one or two of these a year, and they're not... They're not sharp. They're archaeological pieces.
Do you know by what specific cults or tribes maybe use these weapons?
He begins reciting a list of names. He stops after about a dozen. He kind of, for those in the room, I can't do it because obviously this is 1920s geography, which may be which is obviously entirely differently. But he begins to talk about, oh yes, this tribe in Zaire and this tribe in the Congo. And then they believe that that migrated to this one in Sudan and this, you know what I mean? Like, it's very clear that this is a common African artifact. You could tell here that this one is a classic, you know, blah, 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 because of the handle and the distinct wrapping.
Are you familiar with the recent deaths, I mean, that are connected with these weapons that have been using over the last couple of years?
Many people unfortunately die every day in the city. I'm aware of some of them, yes.
Do you know Mr. Hilton Adams, who's currently in Sing Sing for such murders, which we clearly know he didn't perform because we were there and he was in jail?
Ma'am, you will excuse me if I've lived a long life and I've seen many, many things, and it is less than comfortable for three Americans such as yourselves to enter an African man's shop and talk of ritualistic killings. It is not something, a topic that makes me feel very comfortable.
I'm sorry if we've made you uncomfortable. That was not our intention.
We've heard many things and many, many senseless threats.
We're trying to help clean Mr. Adams' name because we know he didn't do it.
Well, perhaps you do or perhaps you do not, but I am not aware of this Adams. I have not sold a Penga in months. This is a new one that I just recently received the other day.
Again, I'm not here to insinuate that you were in any way involved. I'm just trying to collect information as to where these weapons, I guess, originate from.
Well, I can tell you, sir, that they do not originate from the Juju House.
I mean, as far as, originate as in Africa, like where, who would be using these?
Many places. I would find it very odd if there are any. It's a kind of a rare artifact. I suppose it is not unlikely that someone may be copying the Penga. Could be creating it here in the city. But my thoughts are, if it were a traditional Panga, it is entirely unlikely that it is being utilized in such a ritualistic and violent manner. That seems highly unlikely to me.
I appreciate your insight, sir.
It seems unlikely to me as well, but as the case is, there have been 10 murders now over the last, you know, couple of years in the city. It seems to me even more unlikely that this is somebody copying, you know,
You will excuse me if I do not commentate, if I do not comment on your suppositions. It is, again, it is an unfortunate world in which a man who is simply trying to sell art is typically someone of a different skin color or a different sex may be accused of such horrific things. I choose not to discuss this because I fear only for shedding light on something that has nothing to do with any of these horrible, horrible murders.
Mr. Nkwane, could you point me in the direction of something that I might be able to honor your shop with and remember you in my home? I'm looking for something small that I might be able to purchase. Not to patronize you in any way, but rather to remember.
Is that a charm roll you're trying to elicit?
Yes.
Go ahead.
93.
I think it would be best if you folks left. I appreciate your questions. I hope you found whatever you're looking for. You see he kind of looks over at the wall. It is time for me to close.
Did we just fail every roll except for spot hiddens in this shop?
Pretty much.
Thanks. Cool. No, Schroeder, that didn't go well.
He's going to usher you out unless you're going to try and do anything.
Can I just do a spot hidden to see if I notice a safe or something to which the singular key may go to?
I'll go ahead and give it to you on the 3 you rolled earlier. You're not seeing anything obvious. I mean, obviously, it would be easy math to realize that you're only seeing part of the building.
Yeah.
But it very well could be the key to the door. It's impossible to tell. There's not like a safe behind anything. There's no quote unquote cash register. But just looking at the size of the building when you walked up, there's definitely more to this building than just this small room, obviously. Schroeder, make me a D100.
33.
You can take spot hidden. You notice that you're not actually alone. Like, it seems very, very... It seems very cramped, and it would be hard for anyone to be circumspect. But you actually do notice that there is some motion in and down the alleyways, and you're occasionally seeing some quick peeks from behind a curtain down onto Ransom Court. Did you ever have the feeling that you was being watched? You got that feeling?
Yeah. I'm going to take out my gun and start... No. start cleaning it? No.
Firing it in the air. Blam! Blam! Blam!
What do you want, cuckoo?
I'm assuming they're working their way out.
At this point, you are seeing them being ushered out by Mr. Nkwane.
I would... Once Nkwane's closed the door, inform the group that we...
Yeah, you're seeing the sign flip the closed. You're hearing a lock lock.
Yeah, let everybody know that we're being watched by somebody down.
Do I see him take that key from around his neck and lock the door?
No, he didn't come out. He closed the door behind you. He has not exited.
There are no windows.
It's not a glass door.
It is. It's entirely curtained.
Okay.
So basically, he escorted you out. The bell rang again, and you can hear him fiddling. You assume throwing the deadbolt on the opposite side.
How far off is this? I mean, if I've noticed them, did they notice me notice them? Do I notice them?
You get the sense that maybe yes.
Did I notice him notice them notice him?
No.
Did I say anything?
Yes. No, you get the sense that there is, it seems like it's an abandoned alleyway. You know what I mean? Like this is behind, there are two streets, obviously 127th and 128th. And like I said, you're in the back alley in this sort of courtyard, and it just, the buildings are kind of tight here. It's almost oppressive. And you realize that there are houses all around you. And then you've got this pawn shop you saw off 128th, that this is the back end of it. And you can see the Juju house, and there's a couple of small alleys beside the Juju house and the pawn shop. And just like, you're like standing there, and you're like, yeah, I'm totally fine. And then like, you notice that there are a couple of guys down the alleyway, not doing anything particular, not watching you per se, but it's almost like you feel intimidated by the places, everything sort of hovering around you.
Take it from me, cowboy. Don't go looking for trouble in Harlem. It'll find you first. Come with me for a hot meal.
So you go off to eat. Anybody else want to do anything? Troy, you've got that look about you that I'm used to seeing. If you're intending to stake this place out, it is pretty wide open. Like, a car would be noticed in this small alleyway. Mm-hmm. You might be able to duck down one of the side alleys. It would be very difficult to succeed. Let's put it that way. I mean, unless you could get a higher vantage point. I mean, give me an idea roll. Am I correct in supposing that that's kind of where you're going?
I mean, it was an idea. Yeah, passed. Almost an NPAM.
Either one of the brownstones or even the abandoned pawn shop would have a nice view if you really wanted to do that. That is, of course, breaking and entering, but it does occur to you. I assume you are departing, staying...
Cecil will lead you guys through a couple of alleyways to a home and knock on the door. And it's sort of like a specific cadence that he knocks. An older woman, African-American woman, will open the door, to which Tarkington will refer to her as Mother Redmond. She will smile and let us in, where we will have a lot of really fucking good food.
Well, that's your opinion, man.
That's just like
your opinion, man. As we leave, you guys, with that, he's not going to hide it at all. He will actually hand her a small stack of bills.
Dollar bills, yo. I'll actually give you this. Here's a detailed map of Harlem.
That is the... It's probably the first time any of you have seen him feel at home.
Probably ever.
Yes.
Are these just like monuments? Oh,
yeah, a lot of them are just points of interest. I'm pretty sure Ransom Court is on there between 127th and 128th somewhere. If you want to get a better view of what it kind of looked like. Anything else that you folks want to do tonight? Or are you going back to your hotel rooms and sleeping?
I think I need a new set of dice. Because, holy crap, I've only passed 2 rolls all night.
That's the first one I've passed.
No.
I passed charm.
I guess I technically passed the over-under roll.
I think I've only rolled twice, so I'm in 50-50.
Oh, because I've been doing all the party luck.
Yeah.
Because your luck blows.
I rolled sand earlier, and then
it blows.
This, so.
Your con sucks, dude.
I mean, one of you guys are going first, so. Whether it's through insanity or eaten by a bear, I don't know.
We'd have to find a bear first.
Anything else you'd like
bet
to
you
do?
Can find one in Harlem.
There's a zoo in Central Park.
I'm okay with ending the day because tomorrow is Jackson's funeral.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you'd like to do in the morning then? Is everybody good with moving to the 17th? Unless Troy is planning a major stakeout?
No.
Okay. The funeral's at 2:00 in Brooklyn, so it will take a little bit to get over there. Is there anything in particular you'd like to do in the morning, or is the goal today just to go to the funeral?
I think I go early.
That's fine.
I would assume the person at the publishing company would probably not be there. Would
you don't
probably
know.
Be going to the funeral.
Did we have any notes or messages waiting for us with Mabel?
Negative.
Ready to.
So you go to the Cypress Hill Cemetery then?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll purchase a large hat.
But you had one.
How about some aviator shades?
I'll purchase a different hat.
I mean, sans bullet hole.
You could go and you could totally wear like it's the type of weather. Like you could wear toboggans or something because it's definitely snowy out.
My goal is to
obscure
my black eye in case someone shows up.
Including the lieutenant.
You do attend a small service, non-denominational.
Who's putting on the service? Because he didn't really have any family.
You don't really know.
He had a publishing house, which means, I mean, he knew people in New York.
You don't happen to have law, do you?
The lawyer does.
I believe I do.
Are you trained in law, Lucas? What you got there?
I got a 45.
Oh, dear Lordy.
You would assume that this is being execution of the will.
Okay.
Ah.
That probably this is being done by whatever sort of legal last will and testament he had.
Okay.
With no heirs and no family, unless there's something that you don't know about him, which he's never intimated that he had family, and you weren't aware of the plans, it is entirely likely that this is execution of his last will and testament.
Okay.
You have a small chapel where it's held. It is specifically non-denominational. There are no prayers per se, just sort of the touchy-feely good bits. You notice that besides you four, there are only 3 other individuals in attendance.
Fabulous. Who are they? Tell me all the things.
You don't know any of them, but I will describe them.
Jazz is very excited and ready to take all the notes.
Aren't you surprised at the length and depth this game has?
No.
I always am. You see one man, probably mid-40s. He's a short, squat white man whose balding pate is framed by uncontrollable curls of graying red hair. He wears pince-nez that he fiddles with constantly. His suits are tailored to flatter his bulbous frame, and his clothing is immaculate. Jasmine, make me luck roll.
Nope. 62.
You are unfortunately sat close to this man.
Of course I am.
Who applies aftershave liberally and is quite cloying in this small space. You also see a small, wiry African man who sort of just twitches nervously. He seems to be fidgeting with a pen or something in his hand. He wears an expensive suit that shows that's a little shiny and frayed. He is going bald. He attempts to mask this, it looks like, by pasting strands of well-oiled hair across his crown. He has one of those thin pencil mustaches. He appears to be probably in his mid-50s.
Like a John Waters mustache?
Kind of, yes. Sat directly next to him is a young African-American woman, tall and athletic. She wears very fashionable clothing, very flapper-esque, but obviously dour for the situation. She seems to be very tidy, prim, and proper.
Estimated age?
19, 20, 21. Very young. You do notice a few people loitered around outside with notepads. You do recognize Rebecca Schoschenberg. It appears to be a few press would be what you guess, keeping a respectful distance. The pastor, whomever is speaking, goes through the motions and says, before we proceed to the burial, is there anyone who would like to say anything, any memories of Mr. Elias? As everyone looks around quite...
Maybe Eustace just kind of under his breath just says, good shot, old boy. Remembering him taking off part of Cortez's...
De Mendoza.
De Mendoza's face.
I'd get up and just say something along the lines of, he was a man that I learned a lot from. He was a good friend, and he'll be greatly missed.
So would you say you were good friends with Jackson Elias?
Yes.
This is my own personal fun joke.
That's very good with the words.
You notice both men as well as the young woman nod. You see a few tears roll down from her eyes. The rest of them don't really speak, but kind of just mutter softly. If that's all that's going to be said, you proceed out into the cemetery. The casket is lowered. A few more words are said, and then the pastor turns away. You see that both men walk up to greet you, shake your hands, sort of independently, so we can kind of talk to all of them. The wiry black man, the thin wiry black man, introduces himself as Carlton Ramsey, Jackson Elias's lawyer, and with him is his niece, Willa Sling.
Is she the tall?
Yeah, the tall, pretty woman.
Did you say Ramsey?
Yeah, Carlton Ramsey.
Yeah. Too busy doing the Carlton, I apologize.
It's okay, I've been doing the Charleston in my head all night.
He says, it is... this is as part of the execution of Jackson's last will and testament. I've set up a private reading of the will. I was instructed to invite each of you to attend. My plan is currently to read it Monday afternoon. I don't know if 2 days is enough time for you to prepare. I can obviously execute his last wishes however you like. But if you are all able to do so, I would like to invite you to my offices Monday afternoon to finish.
Did you say he specifically asked for us to be present?
Yes, Mrs. Ripley.
That's interesting, since we were only brought here to town because of him.
Yes,
just recently.
He was quite busy in his last few days, making some changes and some last minute time.
I see.
Decisions, shall we say. We could speak about that more comfortably.
Of course. Later, it comes as a shock.
I was a great friend of Jackson Elias. I don't want to interrupt the grieving process. That is obviously important.
Certainly.
But yes, if you don't mind, you can call Willa at this number. My niece serves as my secretary, and she hands a card, Carlton Ramsey, lawyer, address. I think I have it somewhere. 124th Street and Lenox Avenue in Harlem is the offices of Ramsey, whatever it is.
Apparently I'm terrible at sign language. Do we want to invite them to tea today? It's 2 o'clock. 3 o'clock?
Oh.
At this point, he says, I'll see you all on Monday. If you don't mind, could I get some contact information from you, or will Monday work? Is that acceptable to everyone?
Monday's fine.
Monday will be fine.
He says, please, if you have any trouble or just need to change the date, please contact Willa. I would like to set his matters at rest, though, as soon as possible, without interrupting the grieving process, of course.
Absolutely. Do you know who the other gentleman was with us in the service?
I mean, at this point, he barges in. Like I said, kind of a large rotund man. Mr. Jonah Kensington. Excellent to meet you. And he sticks out a kind of sweaty hand.
Gosh.
Terrible shame. The world is a lesser place without Jackson Elias in it. I was his editor at the Prospero House.
Ah, yes, of course.
We've heard of you. You must have wrote the handout about the information with Jackson Elias. <'Cause you're
laughs> Quite.
Was that the obituary is what I want to know.
My condolences, of course, for your loss. For all of our losses. It is my belief that Jackson looked into some of the most astounding and fascinating folklore events of our era, and his books will be remembered for decades. Generations will appreciate his writing well after all of us are gone. I do honestly believe that.
Do you happen to have a copy of The Black Power by any chance? The one he wrote in 1921?
I probably have a couple of copies at the office.
Would we be able to swing by and get some, perhaps Monday or Tuesday?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just to borrow, you understand.
You're more than welcome. Like I said, Jackson Elias counted few in his intimate circle, but any who have any friends of Jackson Elias would be friends of mine. You're more than happy to visit me at the Prospero House. He hands you a card. Simply call my secretary, make sure I'm in the office, but I'd be more than happy to speak with you about anything you'd like. Reminiscing about Jackson Elias, or about Jackson, would be good, I think. Cathartic for all of us, shall we say.
Indeed.
Before we break, and I apologize if this is not maybe the best time to ask, but do you know what he's been working on of late?
Yes. The notes are something about something in Africa. He was... Prospero House is located on Lexington Avenue near 35th Street. Just FYI.
I think we had the address at one point. From...
He was probably on the letter.
His most recent contact with me was he wrote for me this summer in I believe he's in Nairobi. He was following up something on the Carlisle expedition. I think he seems to believe that whatever story was told is not the facts.
Would you happen to have his notes? Anything that he sent you recently or know where he keeps his?
I'm sure that we have something on file at the Prospero House. If you'd come visit me, I would be more than happy to show you.
Excellent.
Why don't we just meet Monday morning prior to going to...
We have another appointment that afternoon, you understand, so we wouldn't be able to stay past lunch.
Of course. No, I'd be more than happy to... assist you in any way possible.
Unless you're going to be in the office tomorrow.
Party luck roll?
Is he working on Sunday? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Says they keep odd hours. Nope. I give you a luck roll. Sorry.
42.
Tomorrow off. I will be in Monday morning, however. If you'll excuse me. Some pressing business to get to. Again, my condolences. You see he sort of turns and nods to the, you know, casket and walks away. As one might expect, it was a closed casket.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
No shit.
Ramsey and Willa have already left.
Certainly.
You do notice that they are getting harangued by a few of the folks who are still standing nearby. Schoenberg and a few of the other reporters are asking questions. As any of you start to depart, you're harassed with the same sorts of questions. You notice Rebecca actually kind of like tries to push them away from you because you're the scoop.
Jackson Elias was a man and a scholar. This is a disgrace. You all should disperse.
They all kind of look shocked. Fast talk?
Shit. Charm?
Intimidate, if you'd rather do that.
Wait a minute, I got this.
Doesn't matter. 71.
They all kind of
I'm
look
not making
like,
any of those.
Look, lady.
we're upset.
We're New York reporters. Your Southern Belle accent and charm doesn't do fuck all to us.
You think that you could get him to back away with that cane?
Zorro.
No.
You were in Peru.
Aim for that tree. Skewers one of them through the chest.
Excellent aim. Bully, bully.
Left eye is a bit wonky.
I assume unless there's any reason unless there's any reason you folks want to stick around, I assume that you leave the cemetery.
Yeah, I have no intentions of
Rebecca does try and flag you down. If Rebecca runs you down, excuse me, I wanted to let you know that I did reach out to Mr. Adams yesterday. I got word back this morning. He is interested in meeting you if you are. So if you could let me know when I could set up that meeting, it'll
Tuesday.
Take a few days. I think
Wednesday or Thursday might work as well. We might take a short trip out of town, provided the police don't mind.
Yes, excellent. I don't know about Tuesday. I'll see what I can set up, though. Thank you very much. And she walks
My
out.
My pleasure.
Besides going to Massachusetts,
I created a couple days for us if we wanted to go there and come back.
Well, in that case, we will leave it on the afternoon of the 17th. As we slowly pan out, as two grave diggers come in and, you know, move away and begin to lower the casket into the frozen ground, the snow begins to fall a bit more heavily as you leave the cemetery in Brooklyn and make your way back to Manhattan, where investigations of murder and occultism await. The game is afoot, folks. The real game is afoot.
Our title track, Ideathesia, provided by Sleep for the Weary off their EP, Catharsis. Find more of their music at sleepfortheweary.com. Introduction compiled from Nyarlathotep by H.P. Lovecraft. Like what you heard? Hear more episodes at rancorsbrothel.com. Join the conversation on Facebook with the Rancors Brothel and on Twitter at rancors_brothel. Send comments to therancorsbrothel@gmail.com. Discover exclusive content at patreon.com/rancors_brothel by becoming a patron of our podcast. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, listeners. See you next time.